You're locked into The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels is joining us here on the show. Sage, welcome in. What's going on?
What's going on? Less than 100 yards passing in a NFL game in a dome. That's what's going on.
We'll get to that maybe later. I don't know. We're so done with the Sage. They're just terrible. What those conditions last night? You ever played in a game like with the wind blowing in Chicago? You must have seen that wind blowing sideways where the kicker kicks. A field goal ends up in the at the 5 yard line stands.
Actually in Buffalo, we had a game similar to this. I don't remember it being this windy, but it had the snow. I was playing for the Miami Dolphins the few years before I came to the Texans. So we're talking like 2003. Ricky Williams was our running back. He took off on about a 70-yard run, first possession or second possession of the game. We go up 7-0. I remember Zach Thomas, our star middle linebacker, saying, "It's over. They're not scoring on us." And somehow it became like a shootout game where it ended up being decently high scoring. Drew Bledsoe could spin it pretty well in that terrible weather. I guess it was sort of windy, and as the game went on, the snow started coming down, and I had never heard of lake effect snow before, or LES, and if you live up in Buffalo, it's a very common thing, where I don't know if the like evaporation from the water off the lake, and it basically just dumps on you. So we start the game with no snow, and by the end of the game, there was about a foot of snow on the field. They were taking snow plows and brushing off the lines and brushing off the sidelines to try to create some sort of field where you can actually see. It was like a whiteout. So in a similar way, more snow, less wind, but awful conditions, and that too was also up in Buffalo.
It's just that. So three passes, Sage, and you win the football game. I don't remember that. In the NFL, I don't remember a three-pass win recently.
And one of them was a screen.
I remember a win. I don't know if you guys remember this. Going back to 2006, it was in December. I had just broken my wrist, so I was on IR. I did not make this trip. It was out to Oakland, and Ron Dayne was running the ball. And our Houston Texans won that game, and I believe David Carr had negative passing yards.
Yes,
included sacks.
Yeah, no, I was there. I was there. It was. Lucky. Yes,
I'm going to have to look up the stats in this game.
So I'm going to it right now.
Maybe he threw for 40.
There
yards,
it is.
But he had 50 yards of sacks or something.
The final score was 20. No, Oakland 23-14. 23-14. Let's take a look at the box score, kids. Let's see here. A lot of Chris Brown field goals. That happened. You had 10 first downs for the Texans.
That's better than this.
Rushing yards, 32 rushing yards for 132 attempts for 129 yards. Passing was 7 of 14 for 32 yards. You take in the sacks, and that's where the negative total yardage. But 7 of 14 for 32 yards. He was sacked 5 times. For 37 yards.
Yeah, so we had negative
five.
Negative five, 100. Yep, it says net passing yards minus 5. 124 total yards to 302. Probably similar to the Steeler game. That was also a win. Remember that one, John? Like in 2004?
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever, when the Texans won two pick sixes.
Aaron Glenn would pick six.
I think there was a couple pick sixes by Aaron Glenn. So, yeah, Who do you think had the most receiving yards
in that game? In the 7 completion game?
Mm-hmm.
Andre.
That's right. They got the whole game here. So Houston, no, that's wrong. Well, the most catches were Wally Lundy, Jeb Putzier, Putzier. That's right. Zach Crockett. No, it was Wally Lundy and Jeb Putzier for Houston. Both had two catches, one for 9 yards, one for 6 yards. I don't even know it's possible two catches for 6 yards for a tight end. And then you got, let's see, Ron Dane, one for five. Eric Molds, one for three. Yep, Andre Johnson led the team, one catch for 9 yards. He tied with Wally Lundy with two catches.
That game was in Oakland.
Yeah.
And the conditions were good.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a downpour. It wasn't 7 degrees or whatever it was last night. And, to switch back over to that game last night, I didn't see the whole thing. I saw bits and pieces of it. I came back this morning and watched the highlights. But, I mean, talk about a Belichickian type of win. It doesn't matter how you win games. It's all that matters is do you have more points at the end of the game than not. And I'm sure he very much knew going into this thing, my quarterback is not going to fare well if he has to throw the ball. So I'd rather just punt and play defense and wait for the other team to possibly screw it up. And obviously their defense is number one in the National Football League right now up there in New England. And so he was just going to play that strategy. You know, it's one of those deals. Sometimes it's not chess. Sometimes it is checkers, and Belichick, again, you know, brilliant to not have his quarterback throw many balls last night, and it was very much good enough to win that football game.
Which offense?
You know, they won. What, they've won 7 in a row, and everyone's sort of, you know, the Patriots are going to be very good this year, and, you know, rookie quarterback, and sure enough, it's sort of them and the very surging Kansas City Chiefs that were had a little lull early in the year. They won about 5 in a row, and that looks like the two best teams currently in the AFC.
Sage Rosenfeld's with us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. I honestly don't want to talk about Texans at all.
No. Well, there's something I need to do. I want to talk about. So when the year started, Sage, talent-wise, there was no question that the expansion Texans had a better defense with the Gary Walkers and Seth Paynes and the Aaron Glenns and the Marcus Colemans and the linebacker, Kylie Wong, the linebacking crew. And I don't think there was any question that the Texans, but we did think that this Texans team had a better offense. This is turning into historically, there are some measurements where this is the worst offense possibly in NFL history. Right now, this Texans offense, they got the trifecta, at least passing yards, rushing yards, and overall offense. This is, Sage, I don't know that it can possibly get any worse than this team.
I got drafted in 2001, so this is like year 20 for me, as sort of being around the National Football League. I actually probably watch more college football than pro football growing up in Eastern Iowa. This is the worst offense that I have ever seen in the National Football League. It is. It is void of big plays. It does nothing well. It screws up consistently. It screws up the little things. I know when you're on your own 1 yard line, you're going to go on a hard count. Everybody does it. You practice it because there's really not a big negative if you jump off sides, it goes from the 1 to the half yard line. But still, you're trying to get the defense to jump off sides so you can get the ball to the 6 so you have a little bit of breathing room. You practice that play a lot. Everybody in the entire stadium should know the Texans are going to go on a hard count, and yet they still jump off sides. Right? I mean, the first play of the game is an interception. The next drive is a fumble. And then it's 3 and outs and turnover on downs for the rest of the game. I've seen some of these sort of, I don't know what they call them, these sort of charts that they put out there that sort of compare all the, you know, these sort of spot charts where there are rankings for offense and defense and this and that, and they sort of put it all together. And the Texans are so far to the left and to the bottom in all of these sort of categories. They are in their own world of futility, and it does sadden me. It saddens me because that's a franchise that I and many other players and coaches and fans have put a lot of their sort of heart and soul into to try to build up. And I know it's weird, you know, it's pro sports, and you're a former player and it doesn't really matter. After, but no, you do feel like you're trying to build something. You're trying to build tradition so that when you bring your kids back to a game or your family back to the game, you felt you built that culture of a winning team. And to see where it has gone to not only the worst team in the National Football League, but hands down the worst team in the National Football League. So it's not even competitive. And I know they won the previous week in a rainstorm, with the team without their best player. And they got that win early in the year against another one of the worst teams in the NFL. But, they might get another win the rest of the year. But this is the worst football team that I have ever seen in the National Football League. And it makes me feel sad. It made me feel sad to watching that game and to see all those red empty seats in the stands.
It's the worst game day atmosphere. It used to be awesome. But Sage, a lot of people are calling for Tim Kelly's head. Quickly, we're up against a break here. Is he really to blame here with this offense, or is it, how much of it is players and how much of it is scheme and coaching?
So it's X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's, right? But to be this bad, it's got to be both. The teams that are in the bottom five, whether it's offense or defense, if they don't have good players and they don't have good coaches, that's sort of the way it works out that way. It's not like, hey, we're 30th in the league in offense, but our coaches are really good. We just need some more players. No, you got to have bad coaches too. And I don't really like this system. It was sort of taken from Baltimore where you're shocking all the time. And I think it's hard on quarterbacks. It's hard to get a good running game going. You can't really do the best play they had in this football game was a deep crossing right off a play action in which Nico Collins lined up covering up the tight end, and it was called back. Right? So, I don't like this style of offense. It works when you have Lamar Jackson, who's probably the best athlete to ever play the position, but it doesn't work when you have Taylor, and it doesn't work when you have Davis Mills, a quarterback. It's not that type of offense. So, I think this is a failure by players and coaches alike. It doesn't seem like there's ever anybody open down the field. It doesn't seem like they really even have a chance to take a legit shot down the field, or do they have time to take a shot down the field? There's no way that the players are that terrible because it's National Football League. Everyone's got some good players on it, and this team's got some players on it. But for it to nothing to be put together to create positive yards, to create first downs, and to be this poor, there's definitely some bad coaching going on.
Oh yeah, no. I think we got a nice combination. But to put it all on Tim Kelly, this team sucks. All right, Sage Rosenfels, we got him for another segment here. We'll get away from Texans football on the other side, right here on ESPN.
You promise?
I promise.
All right.
Right now, though, we got to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing, and these guys are great. Billy is great. Here's the thing about a plumber is, first of all, are they going to show up? Because they own you. If you've got water problems, you've got toilet problems, you've got sink problems, whatever it is, and how many plumbers are, I'll get there when I get there, whatever. These guys are going to be there. They're going to be on time. They're going to tell you exactly what it is. Can you trust what a plumber ever tells you? You can trust these guys and what their bid is going to be. You can trust that they're going to do the work. They're going to give you an honest, fair evaluation of what's going on, and they're going to do the work themselves because they're not a subcontractor. They are awesome. Do you want to repipe? They can do that. They've been Houston Homes that went up 30 and 40 years ago. You got to do this, people. You have to. We saw with the freeze what happens there.
Yeah, it crushes you, and then it can be very, very expensive if you don't get that leak. If you got a slow leak, it is going to do a lot of damage under your home. It did that to me. And it'll do the same thing to you. Make sure that you get that looked at with a hydrostatic test. And then if you need a one-day repipe, they can do that for you as well. And they also do small jobs as well, just like leaky faucets.
288-488-6238, 288-488-6238, or thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Texas Custom Patios. Company built by Stephen Schell. This guy who I knew back when I used to play basketball with him or against him at the YMCA, I had no idea he'd be the guy that would build an incredible patio at my home, and frankly, a business that has continued to grow in stature and expanded. They're in Dallas. They're going to be in Austin soon. He's got big, big plans, and why not? The product that they build is superior to anything else that I've seen out there. They win awards here in the state of Texas on a yearly basis. The product, the materials they use are top-notch. All of their workers or contractors are exceptional. The design, the look, the aesthetic, the feel, everything about it is going to be for your enjoyment outdoor, whether it's an outdoor living space with a kitchen, a fireplace, a fire pit. They do it all. Multiple televisions installed, sound systems. It all is done through Texas Custom Patios. And when they build that patio for you, you get dollar for dollar value back when it's time to sell your home. It's a huge differentiator having a patio from Texas Custom Patios when it's time to sell your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, see their before and after work, TexasCustomPatios.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Sage Rosenfeld is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, let's talk a little bit about, okay, in the AFC, I mean, is it even arguable now that the Patriots are the best of the AFC right now? Or you got the Chiefs?
I think it's the Chiefs just based sort of off of experience and the quarterback play. I think Mac Jones has played phenomenal, and you do love the fact that the Patriots have the number one defense. The Chiefs do have that experience, of course, being in all these, you know, Super Bowls and championship games and the playoffs. And, of course, they've got a great head coach, too, with a ton of experience. So I don't know if there's, like, one or the other. Both of these teams are, I think, sort of far and away the two best teams in this conference. You know, the Tennessee Titans are 8-4, and they're going to be in that mix, but obviously not having Henry, their best player, they've lost two in a row. Of course, losing to the Texans last week, that really knocks them off of really being in that, you know, so the record is sort of probably better than they actually are right now. And, you know, Buffalo has their fair share of issues. They can't sort of string together wins. They sort of win one, lose one, win one, lose one. That's sort of been their mantra for the last 8 years. And obviously their team is the Ravens. So, yeah, I think very much it's the Patriots. It's the Chiefs. It's going to be those two teams right there at the end. And, you know, it's probably going to come back down to somehow Bill Belichick coming up with some amazing plan, one of the great plans of all time to stop Pat Mahomes and that offense, and we can almost envision that happening, you know, right now.
Sage Rosenfeld's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who's your MVP right now?
Ooh, the MVP of the National Football League.
It's
that is a good question. Maybe Kyler Murray, right? Maybe Kyler Murray. I mean, the fact that I know he missed three games, but the Cardinals, right, who have been one of those sort of lowly franchises for a long time. Also, they play in a tough division. Obviously, they have the Rams over there. The 49ers are generally pretty good, but that is a very tough division. The fact that they are 10-2 and really completely in control of their own destiny over there in Arizona. I think Kyler Murray's got to be up there. Of course, Aaron Rodgers has had another unbelievable season. Tom Brady threw four more touchdown passes the other day. So, yeah, it's a good question. I'm not really big into the who is the MVP thing, but there's going to be some players there that are going to have a shot. It's not one of those exomniators. Derrick Henry was on his way to be the MVP until he got hurt.
Yeah.
As of November 30th. The odds were Tom Brady was the favorite, followed by Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers, then Mahomes, and then Murray, which that seems absolutely outlandish to me. Right now, I would have to think Brady's the small favorite. Kyler Murray obviously is hurt by, he's obviously hurt by missing the games, as you mentioned, Sage, but that's, I think Tom Brady is going to be the guy. He's now plus 175 at DraftKings. Josh Allen plus 500, but that was before the loss. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers
plus 600.
Kyler Murray's still Kyler.
He's still plus 1,000, though. He's still fifth on the list behind Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers.
Fourth on the list.
In my humble opinion, if you ask me what one person has had the greatest impact on their football team and their franchise to put them in position to be one of the best teams in the National Football League, it's Bill Belichick. I know it's, you know, he's been doing it forever and he's the greatest of all time, but for real, it's incredible what they're doing up there. You know, they have sort of a lot of no names on that defense. It's not like they have a bunch of stars that just shoot out at you, you know, Hall of Famers here and there. They've got a rookie quarterback. They don't have Randy Moss at wide receiver. They've got a ton of good players. The fact that not only is he the head coach and really the defensive coordinator that is leading the number one defense in the league, but he really is the GM too. And they've had a lot of really good, high-quality draft picks. They've had players that used to be on the team, like Jamie Collins, come back to the team. They got three or four of those guys as well. They've made almost all the right moves. And to have a rookie quarterback and to start the year 2-4 and to win 7 in a row, he really is the MVP of the league in 2021.
Well, now that said, they spent a lot of money this offseason. More, and it was like, oh my goodness, they're in desperation mode between the tight ends and Judon and who else did they picked up? Who else? Was Aguilar there last year? Did they just pick him up? I mean, between all the guys, and they spent a boatload this offseason. You thought
but it worked.
They were.
But it worked.
It worked.
How many times have we seen various teams go, oh, man, they traded for this, and they spent this, and they went out in free agency and spent a whole bunch of money, and that never worked.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it definitely has worked.
No, absolutely. No, I think they're probably the biggest surprise right now. Buffalo's got to be one of the bigger disappointments. No, they were supposed to be the team in the AFC. They were the favorite coming in. Well, they and the Chiefs were the favorites coming in. And Buffalo's
turning into one. They lost the Titans. They lose yesterday. They lose. They got smoked by the. Well, they didn't get smoked by the Jaguars, but they were beaten by the Jaguars. I think Buffalo is turning into a disappointment.
Yeah,
Buffalo's a disappointment at 7-5. No, the way 13 wins last year. I think the Cleveland Browns. My guy Kevin Stefanski. They're only 6-6. That's disappointing. Everyone thought that they were going to be sort of a dominant team in their style of football. Would be conducive to winning, and of course, that division is tough. The Cincinnati Bengals, of course, have been a nice surprise. They had a bad loss on Sunday, but the fact that the Bengals are even in the mix, I think, is nice for that franchise. The Buffalo Bills, definitely, that is surprising that they're only 7-5 and you know, really, you know, sort of struggling in that division. The Miami Dolphins, they have won 5 in a row. And Tua is playing really good football behind a really crappy offensive line. But somehow the Miami Dolphins have found ways to win football games because they are 6-7, and they have been outscored this year by 34 points. So they are you know, finding ways to manufacture wins. And it's another one of my old franchises that's had a rough run. It's nice to see them, you know, winning 5 in a row.
Well, and they said, well, they've said that they weren't in the Deshaun sweepstakes, but what you've seen out of Tua now, do you believe that they might, you know, just say, you know what, we're good enough where we're at?
That's a good question. You know, there's a month left in the season, right? You got about four games left and five games left.
Yeah.
That's right. So 5 games left. And I think that obviously we'll see how Tua finishes the season. And at the very minimum, Tua has showed that he can play quarterback in this league, and so whether it ends up not being Miami next year and they end up trading for somebody or drafting somebody, I think he has really added value to himself. He's made himself a lot of money this season, you know, playing on that team that's not all that great. And then to win 5 in a row, that's not an easy thing to do. So, I really sort of hats off to Tua. Don't know the guy, but everything that I see from him, he's a guy that you sort of want to root for. And I'm glad they've won, you know, 5 in a row down there in Miami. So we'll see how they can finish out the season, see if they can sort of get into the playoffs and get into this mix. But there's still, you know, there's a lot of teams, still in the hunt. You know, whenever they show the graphics of, you know, who's in first place in each conference and who's winning all the divisions, there's always a lot of teams right around 500 sort of in the hunt. And you know, this year is no different. A lot of 5-7, 6-6, seven and five football teams right now who've got a chance. And you know, these next two or three weeks are really going to separate all these teams in the National Football League, and we'll see where they go. The Minnesota Vikings, I was looking at the sort of the list of all the teams and you know where the coaching changes might be. Chicago Bears, you got to think they're done with Matt Nagy. The Minnesota Vikings, you wonder if they're done with Mike Zimmer. Losing to Detroit is a terrible, terrible loss. There's going to be some job openings, and you know, obviously the Houston Texans might be one of those teams too. What's going to happen with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson? Are they sort of going to be done? And enough's enough. They're 4-8, right now, and of course they just got a nice win, but they're still 4-8 and really out of it. So. We'll see some of this coaching carousel, how that all shakes out.
There's a lot to be done. That's Sage Rosenfels. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, as always, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There is Sage Rosenfels. Now, what do you want to do? What are you doing this holiday season? Call the Golden Nugget to get a room for a couple of nights. Get a room or two. Bring the family there. Have a great time. There's nothing says Christmas like, you know, gambling at the casino. There's nothing that says Christmas like that. We're doing it. That's how we're spending. Well, the days after Christmas, we're going to spend a couple of days there. Already got the rooms. Already got, you know what? We're going to play golf. We're going to go out by the pool. And you know what? Even if it's cold, the pool is heated. We're still going to go out by the pool, drink some beers, have a good time, have the family all there, play the table games, play poker. They got a great poker room now. It used to be just a little section of the casino. Now they got their own room. But you got all of the gambling that you could possibly do. Sports gambling with DraftKings, the DraftKings sports book in the Golden Nugget. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great time. The hotel it can't be nicer. The restaurants, everything about it. We are just going to have a big time, and you can too. Just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, you got a Las Vegas casino, just 2 hours and 15 minutes by car. No plane, people, and you're there way before you would be in Vegas. It's all at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.